tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it?
Yeah!
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was gonna bring it back,
but it was signed by Babe Ruth!
You keep telling me that. Who is she?
Well, don't touch that dial, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of SWAT!
The King of Crack!
The Colossus of Clout!
The Colossus of Clout!
Babe Ruth!
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Here's Tom Morgan.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and our producer, Adam Abdallah. We're on every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time. We're taking your calls with questions about the value of your sports collectibles, your pop culture, political items, whatever you have you think it might be valuable, give us a call at 312-332-3776, and we'll try to give you our best estimate of what we think it might sell for in an auction. And we're giving away to one caller this week a box of Pinnacle Jumbo Basketball 2013-14, which Panini was nice enough to send us some boxes to give away to our listeners, so thank you to Panini. The Pinnacle Jumbo Basketball has two autographs and one relic per box. And some other nice cards, like I have a Durant Carmelo Team Pinnacle card on eBay, number 35 and 99. That's at like $15. A lot of bonus stuff in the boxes, some numbered stuff. So, Vince, tell the listeners what they need to do if they're the winner.
Well, if you're the winner this week, just email me, vince@ercdelivery.com. I'll get back to you, and I'll set up a delivery at your convenience to your home or to your business, free of charge.
Free of charge from ERC Delivery.
Right.
Unless you're in like Alaska or Wisconsin.
No, Wisconsin's
even
fine.
Wisconsin,
Indiana,
you might go. Huh?
We'll get it to you. If you're the winner, we'll find a way.
Very good, Vince. Okay, last week we had somebody was asking about the value of George Reeves items.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman.
Anybody who's old knows that, had to have watched that TV show. I did a little research on it. A couple of items actually sold in Huggins and Scott auctions. His just regular cut signatures sell for over $500. And I think in a Huggins auction a couple years ago, they had, I think our caller last week had an item like this where it was a cut in a frame with a photo, and it sold for over $1,000. And then I saw somewhere else a just a signed photo, which was done before he was even Superman. I think he started doing Superman on TV in 1951. It was signed before that, went for over $2,000. So his
very
stuff
nice.
Is very, very valuable, old Superman. And what it was, they did that movie about him that Affleck was in, actually, and it's still, people aren't sure he was shot in his bedroom when there were other people drinking in his house, and they're not sure if it was suicide or if somebody shot him.
There was a lot of controversy around his death,
is.
You know?
Yeah. So. Now, the Huggins and Scott auction starts tomorrow. Bill Huggins runs from February 3rd to February 13th. So you've got some neat items on there.
Yeah, we do. We've got a lot of people. Amazingly, we put it out that it starts, you know, tomorrow. But, boy, I was in the office yesterday for a while, and if I didn't get a half a dozen or more phone calls, how come I can't bid? Well, you got to wait till Monday at noon. And then, okay.
That's a good sign. I saw you had two real nice one-of-one cut signatures from products that have been put out by the card companies in the last 10, 15 years. A Ty Cobb one-of-one 2003 Topps Tribute cut signature card. Just beautiful. And a Walter Johnson one-of-one cut signature from 25 Upper Deck Ultimate and Upper Deck Signature Cuts one-of-one. It looked like that one came off a check. Real beautiful cards for guys who like to collect the one-of-one cut signatures. Those cards are just beautiful.
Yeah, and we've also got, I was up at the White Plains show a few weeks ago when we were kind of taking items for the internet-only part of our auction, and a guy gave me three things. They're on the little carousel. One is a Babe Ruth, and I'm not exactly sure what it is. One's got Babe Ruth on it. The other's got Lou Gehrig on it, and the other is an Alex Ovechkin rarest one of his jersey patch something.
Oh, really? Thing. From some of the newer products, huh?
Yeah, from what a lot of people tell me, we're about the only auction house that dabbles into that shiny card stuff, you know.
Yeah, so. Well, you know, when you think about it, those the one-of-ones, there's some big-money stuff. Look at Vince got that LeBron James with the 16 autographs on it, went for $7,500. So there are some big-money stuff in some of the newer products. I'm looking... Yeah, actually, you've got from 2011 SP Legendary Cuts, All-Time Home Run Kings Cut Signature Booklet. Whoa, with Ruth, Aaron, and Bonds, a one-of-one. I didn't see that one before. That's from 2011 Legendary Cuts, opening bid at $2,500. That's going to do some bucks. I wonder if that beats the $7,500 of Vince's LeBron.
That's, I guess we'll see.
Oh, yeah, we'll have to see.
I hope so. Well, you know,
you've got a tough record there.
Yeah.
You know, if nobody's gone to HugginsonScott.com yet, they got to go there. I could spend all day on your website just
really
looking at the pictures and the different things. It's amazing, Bill, what you guys have created.
And there are items in there that are internet only that aren't in the catalog. So click on that item and check on that little. So they've got a star on their homepage and check that out. Now, for our callers, last week we were doing impressions. And if you want to do an impression this week, go ahead, do it again. But here's something else we were doing now. I like to kind of mix in things we talk about at T-Crown during the week. And with the Olympics coming up, we were talking about what sporting event would you really not want to do, or do you think would be really difficult? Just something that, what's the hardest thing you would do? And I came up with three things. Really, I think I couldn't hit major league pitching. You know, somebody with a good breaking ball. When I was playing baseball as a kid, I was all over the fastball. A good breaking pitch. It's sayonara. See you later. Okay, a hockey goalie. My first instinct: get out of the way.
Imagine the days before they even had masks on. Some of those older
tapes
you've seen.
Mask. I think it was Gump Worsley put like stitches on all the spots where he would have been hit in the face. But the third thing, and tying in with the Olympics that are starting up. There is no way I could ever be a ski jumper. There's no way in the world. That, to me, is like skydiving on skis without a parachute. You know what I mean?
Pole vaulting.
That's another good one. Oh. Yeah, that's nuts to get. You're right.
You've got to commit when they say you got to lean back.
No way.
You got to commit that pole's not going to break.
There's no, you're right. I didn't think of that, but there's no way I'm pole vaulting either. I didn't even really like high jumping, you know, and I was a basketball player, but the high jumping thing was like, I don't know. I don't like that.
On the other extreme, I think if I was going to be an athlete, I'd be like a curler. Curling.
Curling.
Nice and safe.
Yeah.
Nice and safe, you know.
It's hard to get hurt curling.
Yeah, it's a little broom action over there.
You know, Tom, I got an impression or a impression for you that I was
able to.
I should have done it last week.
Been working
gotta,
on
you
it.
You got to try and guess who this is.
Okay.
It's Tom Morgan. He says, we all do this one thing and another, but we all put our pants on the same way we do.
I don't know. Adam, do you have an idea on that one?
A big question mark, I see.
Yeah.
Who is
I'm
that,
thinking
Bill?
I got a little bit of a blurb from him, but I'm not sure. Who is it, Bill?
Lou Holtz.
Lou Holtz. There you go. There you go. Okay, that wasn't bad. Okay, let's see what Mike from Naperville has. By the way, the number here is 312-332-3776. If you have what you think might be a better Lou Holtz impression, I'm not saying that's bad, Bill. That was pretty good. But give us a call. You can add that to the thing. Or tell us what you think would be the hardest, the one sporting event you don't think you'd ever want to do. Mike from Naperville is on the line.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, what's up?
I don't think I would want to be a loser.
Isn't there a song, I'm a loser?
Yeah, how about it?
So what do you have, Mike?
I have a gold refractor of Bryce Harper that's numbered 1 out of 50, and I was just wondering, with it being numbered 1, and if I got it graded, how much that would increase its value?
1's definitely do help, actually, if you have a number 1 or if you have the guy's jersey number. Like, I have that... LeBron Carmelo Team Pinnacle card. It's number 35/99, which is not LeBron. It's Durant's jersey number. It's Durant and Carmelo. So a number one usually will get extra bidding, and the jersey number usually will. But that card from Sterling of Bryce Harper, number to 50, in really good shape. If you got that graded gem mint or even pristine from Beckett BGS grading, that would help that card a ton, especially if you look through their population report and there weren't many that were that grade. I've got a Byron Buxton.
Oh, he's hot. His stuff's hot right now.
He was named the number one prospect in by MLB. He was on the cover of Beckett, and they named him their number one prospect. But I have his Bowman Chrome autograph graded Beckett 10, pristine 10 with a 10 autograph.
Wow.
That I put that on Thursday on a 10-day auction on my T-Crown Tom eBay auction. It's at $510
That's
already
crazy.
Just
That's
for the,
awesome.
The prospect autograph. It's not even numbered, but it's perfect grade, and people really look for that stuff. So that can really help the value of an item quite a bit. So you know, we're actually almost coming up to the first break already. We've got some callers waiting, but we'll get to them after the break. The number here is 312-332-3776. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and our producer, Adam Abdallah. We're on every Sunday from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time. Give us a call with a question about the value of an item that you might have, sports, political, pop culture, and we'll try to give you the best estimate of what we think it might be worth. And then you'll get entered into the drawing. If you have an item that we think adds to the show, we'll put you in the drawing, and we're giving away a box of 2013-14 Pinnacle Jumbo Basketball, which Pinnacle was nice enough to give away. You're listening to ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
Tune in Sunday mornings at 7 for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
On ESPN Chicago and ESPNChicago.com.
We're back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, taking your questions about the value of your sports collectibles or your pop culture or political items. I don't know if you watched anybody watch the Bulls play last night. They played the Pelicans. That's another thing we were talking about at T-Crown yesterday. When a team leaves a city, it should not be able to take away the team nickname. The New Orleans Jazz was such a perfect basketball name, and then the Utah Jazz, that doesn't fit. You know what I mean? And now the New Orleans Pelicans, I don't know, I just can't get into that. But Anthony Davis, I can get into. That guy's wingspan is unbelievable. He gives the bull he's gives them so much trouble underneath with that wingspan, and they get that other really big long guy, that shot blocker. Oh. But listen to what Anthony Davis, the last three games he has played, this is out of today's Tribune, he's totaled 76 points, 34 rebounds, and 21 blocks in his last three games. That's something like, 28 points? Or 26 points, 11 rebounds, and 7 blocks a game in his last three games. So I looked up on eBay, did high to low to see what some of his stuff is going for. He had, on January 31st, out of that Panini Flawless basketball product, a one-of-one diamond base card sold for $7,000.
Jeez.
You know, not signed, no patch or anything. So his stuff is definitely hot. Anthony Davis, if you liked him from the start, you picked the right guy. So give us a call at 312-332-3776. We're on till 8 a.m. Central Time, and we'll try to answer your question about the value of your item. The Riverview guy is on. What do you have there, Riverview guy?
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy.
James Cagney.
James Cagney.
That's right.
Okay. Not bad.
July.
Do you have something signed by James Cagney?
Don't I wish?
Yeah.
I wish I had a Bogart, too. No, I got a couple items real quick. I got a kid's book signed by Captain Kangaroo.
And I asked Bob Keeshan, right?
Yeah, and I asked him to sign his real name, and he signed Bob Keeshan in the book, too.
Huh. Yeah.
So I have Jimmy Stewart
Jimmy Stewart. That's a good one, Riverview guy.
Piece of apple pie.
we're getting in trouble here. Like I told Vince, if I start ordering pizza using Sean Connery's voice, I'll know I need help. Jimmy funny. Stewart, I would think it's a poetry book signed by Jimmy Stewart?
Yeah, it's the one he used to read on Johnny Carson.
Oh, really? So, I would think that adds some value to it, wouldn't you, Bill?
Yeah, I just, it would certainly be the first one we would have ever sold, yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah, the fact that you have, now how do you, I guess this isn't the actual one that he took onto the show with him, it's just the book that he used to, you know, a copy of it.
Well, no, he wrote the poetry, and he read it on Johnny Carson a lot.
Okay. But it was a published book?
Yeah, my ex-wife acquired it. On her lunch break at Marshall Field, she worked downtown, and he was at Marshall Field signing his book. So,
okay,
on eBay here we have a Jimmy Stewart poetry book signed by him, sold for about $100.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Your perspective.
Okay, now we have on line four, Rodney Danger Lantern. Hey, Lantern, what's going on?
I tell you, that Bill Huggins, what a guy. Now you know why tigers eat their young.
Okay, Rodney, do you have any collectibles this week?
Yeah, I got an 86 Mets World Series team signed bat.
Oh, that's a nice one.
Yeah.
The entire team signed, huh?
Everyone except Bobby Ojeda.
Ah, huh. Is he a tough signer?
I think he might. I don't know if he passed away already.
No,
the key one on that one is Randy Myers.
Really?
No, don't have Randy Myers on there.
Randy is—he's the one that the guys who run the big show up in New York—they've had several 86 Met reunion shows, and Randy Myers just—he lives, I think, in Portland, Oregon, and he hunts ducks or whatever up there, and he just doesn't do shows, and there are. Everybody needs him on their 86 Mets thing.
Yeah, I would too.
Time for a road trip to Oregon.
Yeah, yeah. Throw a little Rodney around there, and they won't be able to refuse.
I tell you, you know, respect from this show.
And you won't, Rodney. Okay. What do you think? So what do you think that goes for without him on there?
Oh, that's still a $500 to $1,000 bet.
Yeah, still a good bet. Very good. Bobby Ojeda is still alive. I just went to Wikipedia. He was in that accident where with Tim Cruise
and a boating accident.
Yeah, and two of the guys, I guess, died, but Ojeda, I think, was maybe sleeping in the back, luckily for him, and may have gotten hurt, but he didn't. Yeah, actually, it says here Steve Olin and Tim Cruise both were killed in that. So I guess that would also be a tough signature for that item. David from Oak Lawn is on the line. Tell us what you have there, David.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
I have a Brett Favre signed football in a case. I was wondering how much it would go about.
How is that one authenticated?
I do not have it authenticated. I actually got a signed. I actually got a signed by him at the Bears game.
Oh, well, so you know it's real. I would think a Favre ball is probably in the $300 range, and a nice display case doesn't hurt. That's a good item. The number here is 312-332-3776. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins & Scott Auctions. We're on till 8. Give us a call with a question about the value of your items, your collectibles, and we'll try to give you an estimate of what we think it might be worth. HugginsandScott.com has an auction beginning tomorrow with a lot of neat items in it. One of my customers actually dropped off at Triple Crown. He had a real nice lot of 56 and 57 Topps baseball cards that I sent into Huggins for him that start in the auction tomorrow. And it's broken into two lots. One of them is just a lot of a bunch of nice, they're probably mid to probably 5, 6, 7 type condition. Most of them, if you're making 56 and 57 top set, there's a few Hall of Famers in there. And then there was a separate lot where Bill got a couple of the cards graded. 57 Mantle got an SGC 7 near mint 7 grade, and the 57 K-Line got an SGC 8 grade near mint to mint. So if you're really looking for the higher grade stuff, those two are together in one. And then, of course, there's that shoeless Joe Jackson ad display that starts in the Huggins and Scott auction tomorrow. So bidding starts tomorrow at noon Eastern time and goes till February 13th. Check out HugginsandScott.com. And don't forget, there is an internet-only section where if you get their catalogs, there is a section there that's only available through the internet to check that out. Paul from Kenosha's on the line. What do you have there, Paul?
I started collecting some of the famous front fours of the old defenses, autographed mini helmets. I got, like, the New York Sack Exchange, Dallas Doomsday Defense, Purple People Eaters, and the Pittsburgh Steelers Steel Curtain.
So that's cool. So you got all four guys on each helmet for each
right.
team. Yeah. Hey, now, that's a great theme to that.
There's a Steel Curtain. Two of those guys have passed away now, Ernie Holmes and L.C. Greenwood.
Yeah. Yeah. So. That I would think the Steeler one would be a couple hundred, probably. Let's see. Did you say you had the Rams with Merlin Olsen? And
No, that's a tough one there. You look at those on the internet, and they're getting up there now because two of those guys have passed away now.
Right. Deacon Jones passed away, didn't he?
Yeah, just last year.
Yeah, that's right. And Merlin a couple of years ago. Yeah, those are great items. Anytime you get something like that where there's a theme to it, that's what you want to do. And if anybody's out there working on themed items like that, don't ever get somebody else to sign it. Like if you have all Hall of Famers, don't get a non-Hall of Famer to sign it. If you have you're working on an 86 Mets team signed item, don't get another Met who's not on that team to sign it. It hurts the value of it if you do that. Okay, Jason from Irving Park is on the line. What do you have there, Jason?
Hi, how's it going? My grandfather's best friend was the chaplain for Chicago Bears in the 1960s, and he had a game-used ball signed by the whole team. And just wondering if you might have an idea of what it would be worth.
From 1960?
66, I think it's Sayers, Buckets, Brian Piccolo.
Okay. Oh, Piccolo is on there too?
Yeah, Piccolo's on there.
That helps the value quite a bit, actually. Piccolo items go quite a bit. I'm saying, depending on the condition, that's at least $500. I could easily see that breaking a grand if it's in really nice shape. Don't you think, Bill?
Yeah. I want to say we've had one of those recently, just one, if I can remember, and I would be surprised if it didn't get $1,000 or a couple of thousand. It's probably got to be early Sayers, early Butkus, and very few years of Piccolo.
Was Halas on that ball too, Jason?
Yeah, Halas was on there, the whole team.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah,
thank you so much.
Yeah, sure. The movie Brian's Song really helped people understand what he went through and the whole story with him and Sayers. And his autographs are actually very valuable. I'm looking at HugginsandScott.com actually here. As a White Sox fan, I'm not real thrilled with this item. This is Game 2 of the 1919 World Series, the ticket stub. Yeah, boy, you don't see those very often. That's got a $250 minimum bid. It's SGC Authentic. Looks like it's in pretty nice shape, actually. What do you think that stub goes for, Bill? Any ideas? Have you seen those from that World Series?
Well, the one from Game 1 is supposedly the most sought after. Because that was more, if Seacott hit the batter, then the fix was in.
Yeah.
And Game 1 I've seen sell for $3,000 to $5,000. The other one, I haven't seen too many of them surface, but I'm anticipating that thing's got to hit $500 to $1,000 or more.
This will be interesting watching some of this stuff. I'll have to make notes during the week on some that are some cool items and just see how they're doing, and we can follow along on next week's show and see what some of the items are going for. We have Bob from Schaumburg on the line. Welcome to ESPN 1000. Bob, what do you have?
Well, do you guys remember there was a poster with Frank Thomas where his arms were crossed, two biggest weapons in baseball?
Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah, I got that. I got that frame, but I was actually at that photo shoot, and I have the uniform he wore for that.
Oh, really?
I've never gotten it autographed or anything. I've held on to it. It's probably 20 years old since that happened. And nicest guy in the world during the photo shoot. All he wanted to talk about was golf. It was awesome. but I have the uniform, and I'm wondering, is it valuable? Do I get it autographed? Well, do I get the poster and the thing autographed? Or?
What type of documentation do you have that, you know, that would prove that? Did you save anything from it, or do you have anything where it would prove what it's from?
I might have some outtakes that weren't used.
Yeah, and you
possibly. But for the most part, I just boxed it. I've had it ever since that, you know, those couple of days during the photo shoot.
And that wasn't a game-worn uniform. He just wore a uniform for the photo shoot.
You know what? I don't know if it had been in a game or not.
Okay. Yeah, I would think that's hundreds. And what would you think he would need? Would documentation help that, Bill, in an auction?
Any type of provenance is always a big help in stuff like that where... The thing is, you know, Bob, you don't come with the item, so we need something that kind of designates it to be what it is we're claiming it to be. And any type of provenance, if you could get a hold of Frank Thomas, maybe he remembers the event and would be happy to sign it. This was the uniform I wore during this event. I mean, that would go tremendously toward authenticating it and hence, you know, upping the value tremendously.
If he had that letter to go with it, what do you think that might go for? Would you want to give an estimate, Bill?
Oh, I would think you could get into $1,000 plus on that.
Yeah, okay.
Really? Wow.
Hunt him down, Bob. See if he can. If the big Hurt's around, I bet he would do that for you. He does seem like a really good guy on stuff like that.
It was a great experience. I'll never forget how nice a guy he was.
Very good. Okay, it's time for another short break. The number here is 312-332-3776. I'm Tom Morgan. We're on every Sunday from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time. Give us a call with a question about the value of your sports collectibles, your political or pop culture items, and we'll try to give you an estimate of what it might be worth. We're giving away a box of Pinnacle Jumbo Basketball to one caller. And if you have something that's difficult, ski jumping, hitting major league pitching, high jumping, whatever it is, pole vaulting, you can add that in, something if you don't want to be a goalie. Give us a call, and we're on till 8, and hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan.
We're back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins & Scott Auctions, and our producer, Adam Abdallah. We're on every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time. And you can give us a call at 312-332-3776 with your question about the value of an item you might have. It can be sports-related, pop culture, political-related, and we'll try to give you an estimate of what we think it might go for in an auction. Huggins & Scott has their February auction beginning tomorrow at noon, a wide variety of items from all those different categories. Here's a 1951 Bowman Mickey Mantle rookie card, graded SGC 35. So the 51 Bowman, that actually came out before. You know, everybody talks about the 52 Topps rookie, but there was a 51 Bowman Mantle card. Check that card out. It's SGC graded. SGC is a good grader for the vintage cards. Are you guys using them more often now, Bill?
Well, we use a lot of the different grading companies. Some of them have their sort of fortes, their niches of what the things get in the auction. And, like, the shiny cards, Beckett is really the leader as far as that goes. But the other companies are probably more so in the vintage stuff. And it's just PSA was the one that led the, you know, was the first one in, and SGC has kind of been the second one in. But there, I'll tell you, the gap is really closing as far as people say, well, PSA gets the most. They used to be that way, but I'll tell you, the gap is really, really, really getting closer as far as the value of what they get for SGC stuff is what we've been getting.
Seems like it. I think Beckett Vintage Grading has gotten better, too. We have one of the guys from Beckett stops into T-Crown about once a month or so, and I've dropped off a couple. It's so convenient to deal with them to get. I don't know that I would use that for a real high-grade vintage card, but if you have some mid-grade stuff you just want so people, you're going to put it on eBay and you want people to know it's authentic and give their grade on it. It's actually very convenient, and that, they're doing way better than they used to also. So that's three possibilities for vintage grading for people out there. Patrick from Joliet's on the line. Tell us what you have there, Patrick.
Yeah, 2 years ago, I was at the Indianapolis Super Bowl. I actually won a contest through NFL.com to go out there, and I met with a couple players at their NFL house. I met Troy Aikman. I met and I had him sign my football. I had Ben Fouts and Marshall Faulk. And I was just wondering what that might be worth if you guys had any idea.
So it's one football signed by the three of them.
Right, and they're all three of them are Hall of Famers.
Yeah, I would continue to get Hall of Famers on that ball, actually,
and
build it up from there. That's something that's fun to do. Just make sure everybody you get is a Hall of Famer if you're going to add to it. Right now, it's probably, I don't know, $150 or $200, something like that. But keep
great.
Adding to it and keep trying to use the same type pen if you can, you know, to make it look good. And that's a very good item.
All right, cool.
Okay, very good. Next on the line we have, well, you know, actually, I just brought up here the Huggins and Scott. I think these must be the internet only. Let me double check that that's what this, yeah, this is internet only item. So you don't, if you get their catalog, these won't be in the catalog. They have a real good group of signature items, baseball autographs in this group. There's a Mantle, there's Joe Medwick, Fred Lindstrom, Gabby Hartnett. A Marvin Miller single sign baseball. I would think that would do pretty well. Here's a Nelson Fox cut. PSA DNA 9 grade on that one. Nelson Fox, the old White Sox Hall of Fame second baseman, died at a pretty young age. I think, remember, you always used to picture him with the big chaw tobacco, and I think he might have died from throat cancer, actually, that may have been brought about from that, actually. So he died in the 70s, and here's a circa 1960s Willie Mays twice-signed McGregor Pro Model glove with a PSA DNA sticker. So a lot of good items in the Huggins and Scott auctions that begins tomorrow, HugginsandScott.com. We have Josh from the South Side on the line. What do you have there, Josh?
I have a souvenir bat from the 1934 World Series.
Oh, a souvenir bat from 34, huh? Wow, that's a neat item. Now,
yeah,
how did you come across that?
My mother's uncle worked for the commissioner of baseball during that time.
Really? Huh.
Yeah, and I also have a tie clip that says commissioner of baseball on it.
Really? Who was the commissioner at the time?
I can't remember. My uncle's name was George Dedman, though.
Okay, that's cool. Huh, what do you think? Yeah. What do you think? Oh, go ahead, Josh.
Oh, yeah, I was just wondering what it would be worth. I have no clue what it would be worth.
Have you ever had the old 30s souvenir World Series bats in an auction that you can think of, Bill?
Is this a mini bat?
Yeah, Josh? It's a mini bat. Yeah, it's a
right.
mini bat.
Does it just have the two teams on it and then 1934 World Series?
Yeah.
Those things, they were very popular back in the 30s. We've had the 33 one with the Giants and Senators based on from our area a lot. And those things have sold for $100 to $200, depending on the condition.
Huh.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I'm from Chicago. And it's, you know, the last time the Cubs were in the World Series, and they played Detroit.
And you went, what?
No, nobody signed this thing, right, Josh?
No, it's not signed.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool item, though. Any little trinkets like that that were actually at a World Series, and especially he's talking about Cub fans. You know, there's not a lot of Cub World Series memorabilia out there, is there, Vince?
But the Cub fans are represented equally well here at ESPN.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Yes, we are.
Now, speaking of championships, today's the Super Bowl. I think this might not be a good thing for Bronco fans, but not only am I rooting for the Broncos, I don't know how I got to pick the Broncos to win. I'm picking 24-20. I think Seattle's only chance is if they can regularly hit Peyton Manning, if they can put a lot of pressure on him and hit him and make him throw a couple ducks that they can pick off. Other than that, I just don't see, I really think the Broncos are going to win the game. I don't know.
Well, Seattle's got a shot if they can run the ball and keep Peyton Manning off the field, and just a heavy dose of Marshawn Lynch could get it done.
I mean, if I'm the Broncos, I'm concentrating on all over Marshawn Lynch and making Russell Wilson beat me in the big game. He's been real impressive as a young quarterback these first 2 years, but you never know. It is the Super Bowl. He is young. I'm going to make him beat me if I'm going to lose. I'm going to do everything I can to stop Marshawn.
But, we'll see. We'll
so
see what happens.
Who are you picking?
Seattle.
You think Seattle's going to win?
Yeah, Seattle.
Huh?
I want to see Russell Wilson just beat Peyton
Manning. I thought
you
were going for the
I changed
Bronco.
My mind, you know, earlier this week. I saw some stuff on Russell Wilson, good guy off the
he
field.
He does
a lot
seem
of charity.
Like a really good guy.
You know, I want to see him win.
Yeah. But he's
got... Well, I heard the other day that Clint Eastwood was picking Denver.
Well, you know, we change it up a little bit, Bill. Got to keep him on our toes.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess...
Yeah, that's funny.
You're never going to live that one
no,
down,
I
Clint.
Won't.
Okay, the number here is 312-332-3776. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins & Scott Auctions, HugginsandScott.com. We're on 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time every Sunday morning taking your questions about the value of an item you have. It could be sports-related, pop culture, political item. We'll try to give you an estimate of what we think the item might end for in an auction. Huggins & Scott has an auction going starting tomorrow. It's running from February 3rd to February 13th. A lot of neat items up on the board already. There's a Lou Gehrig single-signed baseball. You don't see those a lot. A Brett Favre 1997 Green Bay Packers game-worn jersey, which I know Yurko, who does the show with Carmen during the week on this station, has one of those Favre. I think he's got a 1993 jersey. So that'll be interesting to see if that breaks the 10 grand barrier or what exactly that does in the auction. What's some other stuff here? There's a Babe Ruth autographed black and white photo. Here's an interesting item. An 1895... N300 Mayo's cut plug Wilbert Robinson. Wide variety of cards and collectibles on here. These anything. One of the reasons I decided to start a card store to begin with is I looked at the history and I thought, man, there's still guys have been doing this since the 1800s. I don't think it's going to disappear anytime soon. And then who would have thought how big some of the auctions on some of the memorabilia would have gotten since
then? Did you collect as a kid when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah. We used to always get packs. You know, we'd get a quarter and get five packs. It'd be like, all right. You
amazing.
Know? But, you know, people used to say, whoever would have thought these cards would be worth anything? My grandma, we used to go to my grandma's house in the summertime. And she always used to say, she didn't say keep them in good condition. Condition never entered our minds. But she'd say, you should hang on to these. They might be worth something someday. So my grandma did think they might be worth something someday. Paul from Aurora is on the line. What do you have there, Paul?
Hey, I got a, good morning, guys. I got a
good morning.
Late 1950s original Gunzo Stan Mikita stick. Now, my dad picked this up as a kid, so it was even before Stan Mikita invented the bend on the blade.
Oh.
And I actually got it signed by him a couple years ago when he was at a McDonald's. And he grabbed that hockey stick, and he was like, oh, my God, you know, before the bend.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to, I was, you know, very interested. I'm never going to sell it. I'm very interested in you think it would be valued in.
Now, do you think he actually did use that in a game?
No, because Gunzo's used to just, like, sell the player sticks. You know, that's where they used to go buy all their stuff.
Yeah, I remember that.
My dad said he went. He probably bought about five sticks. And for some reason, this one lasted 60 years or 50 years.
Was Mikita actually the guy who invented the curve?
He did. The rumor is that it got stuck in a board. He bent it, and him and Bobby Hall sat there and started shooting with it. And next thing you know, the rest is history.
Yeah, they liked it, huh? Oh, that's really interesting. Now, okay, so, Bill, it's not a game-use stick. It's a 59...
Store model
stick signed by Mikita recently.
Signed recently as opposed to... Oh, okay, yeah, right, at a McDonald's.
Yeah, so it was signed the last few years. So what do you think? Maybe a $100 item or so?
Yeah, I mean, it could be a little more than that. I wouldn't say it's a ton of more than that, but if Paul's not looking to sell it. It falls into that priceless and worthless category.
Yeah, right.
Since they're synonymous terms. But
now, how about a Makita Game Use stick from that time, you know, from that era right around 1960? What do you think that would be worth, Bill?
Well, that, you're into four figures at least, $1,000+ for that.
Yeah,
easy.
Yeah, very nice. Well, next time, Paul, you see Stan Makita, ask him if he's got any old Game Use sticks hanging around. How about an old jersey, game-worn jersey of Hull or Makita? What do you ever get?
Now you can add another zero to that.
Oh, yeah, that would be, especially I would think Bobby Hull, that would be huge. Oh, my gosh. I don't think I've ever seen one of those for sale, actually. You've never had one, have you, Bill?
No, not a player of that caliber, no. That era.
No. Boy, that would be something. I wonder if there's even any of those around. If you have a Bobby Hull game-worn jersey in your basement, give us a call.
Yeah.
What'd you find there, Vince?
Based on the Hockey History blog here, it says Stan Makita is generally regarded as the father of the curved hockey stick.
There we go. That's I guess somewhere along the line, now that I hear that, that kind of rings a bell.
Makes sense.
I didn't realize that he was the one who did that. That's cool. Ed from Geneva is on the line. What do you have there, Ed?
Hey, it's actually Ted.
Oh, Ted. Okay.
Hey, and I run Super Bowl Sunday. Got my Chicago Bears stub from Super Bowl. Wondering, it's in excellent condition. Wondering what the value might be on that.
Which Super Bowl?
The one they won.
Oh, okay. Very good.
Super Bowl 20.
Yeah. Oh, so it's ticket stub from Super Bowl 20. Is that, what do you think, a couple $100 on that?
Yeah, maybe? That's what those are getting right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the game, they actually gave us these pennants, too. Back in that day, there weren't these great Super Bowl halftime shows, and the fans were part of it, so we had these red Super Bowl flags that we would actually kind of have to put up, and it would spell something out. Don't even know what it does, but I've got like three or four of those. Are they worth anything?
Bill?
Well, probably, yes. I mean, they're worth something, probably not a whole lot, maybe
20, 30 bucks. Yeah, remember in the old days, I think even the first Super Bowl, they had the marching band going through there, you know, and boy, they've come a long way with the halftime entertainment, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, how about the commercials, too? What a big deal it's become with everybody grading the commercials and, you know, what's your favorite commercial? That's really taken on a life of its own.
I heard it's $133,000 a second to advertise on.
Oh, man.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So, Bill, if this Super Bowl ticket was signed by Ditka, how much more valuable would that 85 Super Bowl ticket be?
Well, obviously not as much as if it was signed by Peyton, but
Ditka hundreds of thousands of dollars more.
If Ditka sold him the stub,
yeah,
how much would it be
if
worth
Ditka
then?
If Ditka touched the stub and had it in his pocket, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Wow, definitely.
The coach.
Pistol Pat is on the line. What do you have this week, Pistol Pat?
Hey, T-Crown Tom. I got a pretty good couple items here that I don't know what this one's going, but I got a couple of them. Michael Jordan, IMAX piece of film strip encapsulated from 1998, his game-winning shot against Utah. It's the IMAX theme. It's an encapsulated in a like a hard piece of plastic.
Is that kind of like a cell from a movie or something?
Yeah, it's like a cell film strip.
Is that from Upper Deck or how did you get that?
I just got it at a hobby shop. It says IMAX Experience and presented by MVP.com. And I looked on the computer and it didn't have a price, but it's pretty limited, they said.
I'm not thinking that much. Do you remember what you paid for it?
I think it was like $40.
Yeah, I was thinking $50, so I don't think that's a huge item. It's kind of a neat item. Some of those cells from movies were hot 10, 15 years ago. I haven't really lost track of them. I don't know what some of that stuff, if any of that stuff, is actually really doing anything now or not. Noah from Elgin is on the line. This isn't Joakim Noah, is it?
No, unfortunately, no.
You wish you had his contract, huh? Boy, he sure developed into quite the player for the Bulls. What a smart player he is. This generation's Dennis Rodman, I guess, the way he is just smart to use his talent. So what do you have there, Noah?
Well, I got a 2012-2013 totally certified Peyton Manning auto number 9 out of 10. I pulled recently at Shoebox Memorabilia. I got a relative idea what it's worth, but I'm not totally sure what I should let it go for.
Well, what I would do is, personally, if I had it, I'd be ending the auction probably tomorrow night, and I'd be doing an auction on eBay right now, And if he wins the Super Bowl, I don't know if his stuff will ever be any higher than it is right now, actually.
Uh-huh.
If he loses the Super Bowl, I don't know. What are you thinking? Maybe a couple $100, $200, $300, maybe at tops?
I was thinking around $350 for it after I get it graded.
Oh, you're going to get it graded?
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, if you think it's got a chance for a 10 and a 10 autograph, other than that, like I say, if you're really thinking of selling it, I'd be putting it on right now and ending it soon. Either end it on a weeknight, you know, maybe Monday night or Tuesday night. You can't end it tonight if you're putting it on eBay, if you have an eBay ID. But his stuff is really hot, and if he wins, I don't think it'll ever be hotter. I would think if they win, I'd say there's a pretty good chance, depending on, he might retire after that. I guess he still talks like he might want to play if his neck, if they do the check him out at the doctors, and if his neck checks out okay, he still might want to keep playing. And I guess, hey, if you like it, you're feeling good.
55 touchdown passes, I think
he
could
throw. That'll keep you wanting to play.
At least half that next year, you know?
It's just amazing how he can read defenses. You know, his arm is not one of the stronger arms in the league. He just reads them and gets rid of the ball so quickly. It's pretty amazing.
Guys, I think Peyton Manning's got 19 million reasons why he's going to play next year.
Yeah, I guess that would keep you out there if you're healthy enough. Rich from Lincoln Park is on the line. What do you have there, Rich?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Kind of a unique item. I grew up in Montreal, big Expos fan. Which
oh,
was,
cool. How was it going to the games there? Was it quiet or was it rowdy? What was it like?
Pretty lonely. You know,
yeah, not too many people usually.
back in the day, late '80s, early '90s, it was good, but then it became kind of quiet.
I know of some baseball players who that was their favorite stop along the way. I guess they just loved the city of Montreal and some of the.
Yeah, it was a fun city. Lots to do after the games.
Yeah, I bet. So, what item do you have?
So I've got the actual standings flag, the Expos flag that flew over Wrigley for one of the seasons. It's got the letter from the Cubs authenticating it. I'm not looking to sell it or anything, but it's just a...
How did you get that?
One of the grounds crew guys sold it to me. Ex-grounds crew guys. He was selling it, and I bought it from him.
Okay, what, he was let go for selling it to you?
I didn't ask any questions.
You just bought it and ran.
Exactly. So now it's up in my office, and it's just the greatest.
That's a pretty cool, do you have it framed? I mean, that would be a cool wall hanging. And you know.
Kind of a hard thing to frame just because it's so long. And you know.
What size is it?
It's got to be maybe 3 by, you know, maybe 3.5 feet by 2 feet, maybe a little bit bigger than that. But, you know, it's probably bigger. It's probably 5 feet by.
Oh, that's cool. And it was.
Yeah, most of those things are 4 feet by 6 feet.
Okay.
There you go.
What do you think, Bill, in an auction for that, an Expos flag that hung on Wrigley?
Well, we've had a couple of those in our auctions, different flags that have flown over stadiums and stuff. And it's a tough sale. You know, Rich, because there's a lot of guys who just don't know what to do with it. Where do I put this? You know, do I take down the mirror over my bed and put that up, you know, or something? there can be, you know, the Expos being the defunct team and all that type thing. It, to the right guy, it could be a $500 plus item.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, that's pretty neat, Rich. What did you pay for it?
I paid...
$22.95 cash if you ran.
I paid, I think, $200 for it, if I missed your call.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
All right, well
thanks
for
guys.
The call. Once again, we're towards the end of another show here. Before we get to the drawing, I want to just remind everybody the Huggins and Scott auction starts tomorrow, February 3rd at noon Eastern time. Go to HugginsandScott.com. Check out their items. You can bid on them. You have to register if you haven't registered already, but check out the items. There's lots of neat stuff, sports, pop culture, political. All the items are there. Go to HugginsandScott.com. And now for the drawing for the box of Pinnacle Jumbo Basketball. The winner is...
Rodney Dangerfield, Green Lantern from Aurora.
The Lantern wins. That's his second win. We're going to have to start cutting him off, I'll tell you. Okay, so the Lantern wins, and... All he has to do is email his info to vince@ercdelivery.com.
That's it.
And they will deliver free of charge. Bill Huggins, you getting all ramped up for the auction this week? You guys all set to go?
Oh, yeah, we're all ready. 12 o'clock tomorrow.
How many total items? Do you have any idea how many you have total in it?
Just under 900.
900 wow. items at HugginsandScott.com. I'll tell you, you could spend, with bad weather coming up, I think we're going to get a lot of snow again on Tuesday. You could spend a few hours just looking through the items here. And
easily.
Then yeah. Trying to, okay, figure your budget and figure, okay, this is what I'm going to spend. I'm going to get these. Adam Abdallah, another great job. We're on every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time. Thanks for listening, everybody. Enjoy the Super Bowl. 24-20 Broncos, by the way.
Go Seattle.
Go Broncos. Have a great week, everybody.